someone listening to this message, it is the commencement of a journey to destiny. For someone else, it is a confirmation. For yet another, it is a continuation of a journey to destiny. As you listen to the senior pastor, Daystar Christian Center, Pastor Sam Adeyemi, the word will work wonders in you and for you.
Zechariah is the second to the last book of the Old Testament. Zechariah chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. It says, "So he answered and said to me, 'This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel you shall become a plain, and he shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace, grace to it.'" I want to talk to us for a few minutes about grace. Grace is divine enablement or divine empowerment. Or you could say the favor of God or the help of God. The Greek word translated grace in the New Testament is the word charis, which means gift. Grace is God working in your life, doing the things you don't have the wisdom or the capacity or the strength or the resources to do. And I tell you, when Almighty God steps into the life of a human being and those things, the results are huge. I remember 1 Samuel chapter 9, a man named Kish lost his donkeys. He sent his son Saul and a servant to go look for the donkeys. And the Bible tells us that they went through the land of Ephraim, went through the land of Shalisha, went through mountains, hills, everywhere. They couldn't find those donkeys for 3 days. Then when Saul said, "Look, let's go back to my father. There's no point. Now, he will think we're about to be lost." The servant said to him, "There's a man of God in this city. He's a honorable man. Whatever he says comes to pass. Let's go ask the man of God that he may show us the way." And that was the best decision they made. Because when they got there, God spoke to the man of God. Samuel, the prophet, poured oil on Saul's head in 1 Samuel 10 verse 1. And said, "God has appointed you captain over his people." See, he was looking for donkeys. But when God's grace came on his life, then he suddenly realized he had capacity to do a whole lot more than he was doing in obscurity. With the grace of God, he now had capacity to lead a nation. Then Samuel said to him, "As soon as you leave here, you will meet some people who will tell you that the donkeys you've been looking for have been found." That is one of the passages of scripture that touches me really deeply. Because I wonder, why for God's sake were they going all over the place? It seems to me like where they should have started their journey was where they ended it. Why not go to God first? Instead of struggling, instead of running all over the place, cracking your head over things that you don't have the capacity to manage. Where they should have started the journey was where they ended it. As while Samuel was pouring the anointing oil on Saul, the donkeys were positioning themselves to be found. Because my inference from that passage is that miracles have a way of avoiding people who don't have grace on their lives. Those donkeys, with all their effort, they couldn't find them. They couldn't find them. Okay? God's grace is God's extra on your ordinary. And when he brings that extra, you become an extraordinary person. The psalmist said, "I will look unto the hills. From hence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord." When people read that passage, they think it's a continuous statement. "I will look unto the hills where my help comes from." That's not what the psalmist is saying. The second statement or the second sentence is a question. The hills were the places where people built their shrines and their groves, that was where they worshipped idols in those days. That's where everybody in town went. That's why the psalmist was saying, I will look onto the hills, because that's where everybody is going. And then he asked the question, where will my own help come from? He says, my help will come from the Lord. My help will come from the Lord. I won't go where everybody else is going. I won't do what they are doing. God will help me. God will help you. You will find rest in the name of Jesus Christ. So that's why today I encourage. You want to enjoy this grace? Try the following things. Because I had to research into how to access this grace. The first thing, pray. Pray. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of grace. He's the one who brings the resources of God into your life. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16 says, we do not have a high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, or who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. He was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Verse 16 says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Listen, prayer is not just something you do in the morning like I used to do many years ago. I just pray in the morning, then God would leave my consciousness as I struggled through the day. And it would be when I came back home in the night that I would remember God. Because I left him at home. You understand? But he's always with you. I ask him for the smallest things in the world. I don't assume anything anymore. I ask him for wisdom. When people ask me questions, I ask him for wisdom when I have to make decisions. If I sometimes I'm looking for a missing item, I ask him. Because many times I've tried and tried and tried before I remembered, like Saul and his father's servant, that help is close by. And I say, Holy Spirit, you know exactly where this thing is. Help me. Remember to pray. Secondly, spend time with the Word of God. Put value on revelation, on what God says to you through His Word and through His servants. Revelation is the most powerful resource on this planet. That's what God used to create the world. God's power is anointed. God's word is anointed. God's word carries God's power. Acts 20:32. He said, I commend you to God. That was the Apostle Paul. I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up. That's the first thing the word does. Increases your capacity, matures you. He said, the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among those who are sanctified. So your destiny will be delivered to you through revelation. Third thing, identify your gifts and your calling. Identify your gifts and your calling. God designs each of us differently and equips us to carry out specific assignments on this planet. He gives you His grace to do what He called you to do. Your grace is in your place. I pray God will help you to find that place. In Galatians chapter 2 from verse 7, the Apostle Paul describes his experience when he went to Jerusalem to meet those who were apostles ahead of him. Galatians 2 verse 7, he said, but on the contrary, when they saw that the gospel for the uncircumcised had been committed to me, as the gospel for the circumcised was to Peter. Now the uncircumcised were Gentiles, the circumcised were Jews. He says, verse 8 in brackets, for he who worked effectively in Peter for the apostleship to the circumcised also worked effectively in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that had been given to me, they gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. That's interesting. That's interesting. He said, God who gave Peter the apostleship to the circumcised. So what happens is, was whenever Peter ministered, if he was ministering to Jews, he got phenomenal results. 3,000 people saved in one day. 5,000 people saved in one day. Miracles happening. But whenever Peter tried to preach to Gentiles, there was controversy. On the other hand, Paul, when he ministered to Gentiles, whole cities changed. Whole cities got saved. Whole nations got saved. But whenever Paul tried to preach to Jews, they beat him. Beat him. It's interesting. The fact that you are concerned about something does not mean God has called you to solve it. Because Paul was concerned. Romans chapter 9, the first two verses. Romans 10, you hear Paul saying, I wish that I was cursed for Israel's sake. If I would prefer to die and go to hell just so that Israel could be saved. Leave Israel alone. Your calling is to the Gentiles. Find your place. He said, when they perceived the grace of God that was given to Barnabas and I. You see, God's grace is perceivable. If God is helping you, people will know. If you're a struggler, it will show. It's not that you can't succeed, though. It's not that people cannot succeed. But sometimes when a person is succeeding with struggle, it is obvious. And with scheming and manipulation, plenty of calculation, it shows. Comparing somebody who's enjoying God's grace and somebody who is not, it's like comparing somebody flying in an aircraft with somebody running on the ground. Somebody will soon get tired. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. Birds flap their wings so that they can fly. The eagle doesn't struggle like that. It flaps its wings while reading the wind current. It has that unique capacity from God. It plugs itself into the wind current and then just soars. It's the wind that carries it up. Now the question, how come it is the one that does not flap its wings that flies the highest? Because there is no bird that flies as high as the eagle. That's life for you. If you're a believer in God, read Ecclesiastes 9:11 very well. It says, the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor favor to men of skill. It's God that organizes this thing. Amen. Find your calling. Stop struggling. After 5 years, shouldn't you know the thing is not working for you? Eh? It's not by force to sink. Some people sing like canaries, others croak like toads. Because you insist you must lead praise and worship by force. The moment you start, the Holy Spirit leaves the service and goes on a stroll. When you are finished, He comes back. And that works in all areas of life, all right? And Romans 11:29 says that the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. God doesn't change His mind about people He has called. And then you can get grace from somebody who already has it. I call that impartation. And that makes it cheap. Deuteronomy 34 verse 9 says Joshua was full of the spirit of wisdom because Moses, the servant of God, had laid his hands on him. Matthew 10, verses 1 and 2, Jesus called his 12 disciples, sent them out 2 by 2. The Bible says, and he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out. You can get this thing from somebody who already has it. That's been one of the cheapest things for me to do. You get it by pursuing the wisdom of such a person. Because God told me, my anointing is on my word. If you can know what somebody knows, you will carry the grace that the person is carrying. So I began to buy tapes and books and to listen to them over and over and over until the same grace working on the people I was listening to began to show in my life. I learned how to serve. I learned that service is the key to greatness. Oh yeah. Elisha served Elijah, ended up with a double portion of his anointing. Joshua served Moses and ended up with the anointing Moses didn't have. Moses brought people out of Egypt. He couldn't take them into Canaan. Joshua took them into Canaan. I learned to serve. It's a shame today that young people in our country don't want to serve and they want to have money. They want promotion. But you just observe. It's the person who serves maybe a senior politician serves a senior business person, serves a man of God. They're the ones usually who end up with the same grace that those people have. And you have people who are rebels, who have no respect for authority, and who want to dash here and try this and try that and try this and try this, and they are struggling all their lives. Things work a whole lot easier for people who serve. And you know one requirement that you have. Sometimes we get requests in church from young people, and I ask maybe the pastor who presents the request, this young person is a school leaver. What has the person done for older people in their home fellowship? Young people today can't help somebody babysit. They can't wash somebody's car. People, just because they say somebody is a graduate and he has paper that he calls certificate and ties a rope around his neck, now writes hundreds of CVs and begins to walk all over the place when there are little opportunities for service here and there. And what you need is humility. Okay, James 4:7 says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to who? The humble. I'll stop there and share this testimony with you. When Pastor Elijah came to Daystar Christian Center, what he observed, because we were in a run-down ramshackle building at Alausa, he used to help us to repair electric cables. Because we didn't have money for any sophisticated things. He used to help to change the bulbs and repair electric cables. And then, before he now offered to drive us for free. He was driving. He drove me into every nook and cranny of this city. We traveled together. I remember the night we went to Abeokuta together. Finished, left Abeokuta at 9:30, came through the back road, through Sango. And my car that day decided to manifest. Every 3 kilometers, you will hear. And we had to park, shut down the ignition, allow it to cool down for some 3 minutes or so before it will start again. And we did that all from Abeokuta to Lagos, got home like past 11 or 2:12. Gratefully, at least the car didn't stop permanently anywhere. Two of us in the dark, in the bush, on the road. When our church just started, we didn't have enough money to buy a dubber, to dub tapes for people to buy. Pastor Elijah would take, as soon as we finished the service on Sunday, he would take the tape and head for Ibadan, because my brother's church had a dubber. And he would go there and dub the tapes overnight, public transport, and come back the following day so we could sell the tapes to church members. And he did that for a long time. Today, Daystar is psychedelic, you know. It's a place for proper people. But if we don't tell you our story, we'll be praying for God to bless you and you won't find the connection. Telling you. That's where we started from. And that's the route to grace. In fact, it was in the process. God is wonderful. It was in the process of going to Ibadan to dub tapes that he saw somebody there, at the church there. You understand what I'm talking about? That's where God gave him his wife. Those who walk at the altar should eat at the altar, isn't it? Only God. Some people have not found their husbands and their wives because they've not gone to the place where they are. You will find your greatness in the place of service. No job is too low for us to do. Did I hear you say amen? I learned how to give to people ahead of me, people who have the grace I'm looking for, to sow into their lives. It used to be embarrassing for me to write a check of 1,000 or 2,000 naira to my pastor. Somebody has millions, you're writing a check of 2,000. But having read the Bible, I saw that was the cheap way to go about it. What you give is material, what you give is intangible, it's invisible. But it will attract the material blessing into your life. Some people hang around people who have grace for years, but they never get anything. You know why? The average person in this country who is poor is always looking for how to take from rich people. In our church, we have a culture. You see, someone who has what you are looking for, sow a seed into the person's life. Don't be a parasite, don't be a liability, be an asset. And understand it is grace that brought the blessing you are looking at. And you can tap into it if you're a giver. And I thank God for Pastor Elijah and his wife. Their testimony is phenomenal. As we pray for them this morning, we bless them with the whole of our hearts, believing that the God who has helped us will help them. Really, as Elijah is only living full-time ministry, okay, in Daystar, until, if ever, God leads them to start a church, they actually are still a part of Daystar. They worship here. It's just a transition to a higher level. But the grace that we have enjoyed here will always work for them. They would come, ask me questions, and anything I told them to do as a servant of God, they did. And I'm glad to say, practically all the testimonies we have in our house, they have in their house. God's grace. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that as we pray with them this morning, someone here, somebody struggles here, will cease. The God who has been my helper, he will become your helper. And the things that have been impossible for you will become possible. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. God will bring wisdom into your life that you have never experienced before. Your thinking will change. You will begin to see things the way you never saw them before. When you open your Bible, the God who's given me insight into this book, it will open your eyes. You will find your destiny in this book. In the name of Jesus Christ. I prophesy that the grace of God that preserves us, that grace will preserve your life. If there's a sickness that is threatening your destiny, the power of God will destroy it. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
We believe that the wonders of the Word of God have begun. For additional information, call 01793-7415 or 01815-1435 or email us at contactus@daystarng.org.
Join us for any of our four services at 7 a.m., 8:30 a.m., 10 a.m., and 11:30 a.m. at plot A3C, Ikosi Road, Oregun, Lagos, Nigeria. You could also visit our website at www.daystarng.org.
Or watch the church service at www.daystarng.tv. You are destined to succeed. You will succeed.